Now God's Spirit will help us just to home in upon one or two places in Ezekiel 11 for the remaining few moments of our service, to see how those things that happened hundreds of years before Jesus was born, in fact, were preparing the people for his coming. The thing that perhaps links in most closely with the matters that are on our mind at this season is, of course, the vision of God and the manifestation of God, his appearing to his people with or without angels and overwhelming them with his glory, his presence. And in fact, Ezekiel himself is a man subdued by the glory of God, so broken and yet so remade is he by that experience that he is able to be a channel of the Word of God to his generation. And what we remember about this amazing vision that he has of far off Jerusalem is that his main task is, as the last verse of chapter 11 tells us, that he is to tell the exiles all the things that the Lord had showed him. And this was his calling. It wasn't going to be enough for him to keep privately and secretly in his heart what God had shown him. The thing that perhaps we might find difficult about this is that Ezekiel has a lot of the time to communicate dread and awe to the people. He has to speak, in the words of the Apostle Paul, of the terrors of the Lord, and so to persuade people. So it is in chapter 11 that we were seeing Jerusalem described as a cauldron, a cooking pot, and that the people in the city were the flesh, the meat that was to be cooked. So serious and solemn and dire was the judgment that was to fall upon that community because of their turning from God, their rejecting of all God's love to them in his word, they are going to experience what looks like an end. They're going to be boiled alive, as it were, according to that strange picture, the cauldron and the flesh. Now, remember, Ezekiel is telling the exiles. Now, they must have sat and thought, well, we have really escaped the worst, haven't we? Because we've been taken away from our homeland to Babylon. And perhaps one of the things that is given to Ezekiel here is this: to say to exiles, better to be an exile than to perish. Better to be under God's discipline than to be under God's judgment. The difference is this, that the remnant who were carted away from Jerusalem to Babylon certainly went through a lot of pain, discomfort, and limitation, and loss of all the familiar things that meant a great deal to them, the outward things of life, the transient things, the temporal things, both of church and of society. They were taken from them. And they were landed in this community of which they knew very little, except that they feared them. They didn't like Babylon or the Babylonians, but God sent them there because in a strange way they'd had a hankering after the world and all its values and its goals and its priorities. And God said, in the world I will sanctify you. Because in the world you will discover that all you need is me, says God. All you need is me. And so he takes away their Jerusalem and their temple and their land. And he says, my people, I give you myself. And you see, that is where this manifestation of God in the angels and the wheels comes into its own, because God moves to where people seek him. God is not confined to buildings, holy as they may be in our eyes. If the people within those buildings, those sanctuaries, no longer want him above all else, God goes elsewhere to where a humble people are seeking him. Don't you think that's why Jerusalem at the time of Jesus' birth was a place from which the glory of God had departed? We don't hear of the angels over Jerusalem, or the heavens opening and the glory of God appearing over Jerusalem, because there were very few in Jerusalem who wanted him. Oh, Anna and Simeon would see in their eye of faith the glory of God, but it was to humble shepherds, wasn't it, on the hillside, to whom the glory was revealed, out in the open, out in the world, you would say. And similarly to the wise men, for their manifestation of glory was the star, and it was a moving star. Just as we've seen the glory of God moving away from Jerusalem, where he's no longer wanted, where the people have displaced him with all their worldliness, and God is moving away. He's saying, I'm off to Babylon, because there are people in Babylon, my children whom I'm judging, whom I'm disciplining, they're there seeking me. And the star moved ahead of the wise men. And just here, as we find the glory of God stopping over the place at the east of the city, looking towards Babylon, so the star stood over the place where Christ was born, the manifestation of God's glory, where he is most loved and wanted by his people, Mary, Joseph. Now let that be to us a sign. And don't be a person from whom the glory of God has departed. Because all the promises of God are here. Verse 19. I'll give you an undivided heart. I'm going to cleanse you and change you, my people, through this discipline of Babylon. I'm going to put a new spirit within you. As we come to the threshold of a new year in a few days, let's come to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever the past has been, I want to leave it behind, both its bad and its good, because I want to go on with you, following where your glory is leading. Give us, Lord, an undivided heart, a one heart, a single heart. Put a new spirit within us. Take away the stony heart out of our bodies, and give us a heart of flesh that is soft and sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, so that we may walk in your will and obey your word and be your people, and you, Lord, shall be our God. And that's his promise to anyone who returns to him from backsliding and backturning against him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, lest you leave it too late and he's gone somewhere else and you cannot find him. I do pray tonight that God, by his word, will touch our hearts, and like those in that sketch and throughout tonight's worship, we've been reminded not only to hear the word of God, but to do it. Take God at his word. And that's what you'll be doing when you take Jesus Christ to be your Lord and the Holy Spirit to fill mind and heart and soul and being for his sake. So I pray we may live to his glory and pleasing. Amen.